Many of us like to think of ourselves as conscientious consumers. We choose paper over plastic, patronize the local farmers market, and replace our incandescent light bulbs with energy-efficient fluorescents. Colin Bevan went a little bit further. As an experiment, he decided to try to make no net impact on the environment for a whole year, and he brought his wife and his 2-year-old daughter, Isabella, along for the ride.
One thing that's really, really hard is for a consumer to figure out what's okay to buy and what's not okay to buy, and what should be disposable and what's not disposable, right?
Yeah.
So that research is really, really hard to do, and nobody can do it all.
Yeah.
But if you just cut out consuming the things you don't really need,
Yeah. You've
already done it.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the research.
No.
So if you discover that really you don't need toilet paper, you can just reuse cloths. Yeah, you don't have to buy toilet paper, and you don't have to do the research about toilet paper.
No!
You get it?
Yeah!
So, listeners, how far are you willing to go? Have your friends and family members been less than enthusiastic sometimes? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now from Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul, Colin Bevan, and from our bureau in New York, Michelle Conlon. He's the writer and blogger. She works as a senior writer at Business Week, where she covers the working life. They're both the subjects of the documentary No Impact Man, which opens nationwide tomorrow. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And Colin Bevan, I have to say that clip is just one example of, well, you carry the message, but it's the women in your life who carry this movie.
Oh, sure. I mean, sometimes people say to me, well, you're not a consumer anyway, and you just want everybody to be like you, but they're not going to be. But what I always say is actually what I want is for people to be like Michelle, because Michelle was very skeptical about living environmentally. And then what you see as the story progresses is she opens herself up to the joys of what happened, because we let go of consumerdom and open up kind of our lives to more community and whatnot. And so I don't want people to be like me. I want people to be like Michelle.
Well, Michelle, I must say, after seeing the movie, I was tempted to arrange to have a double latte there in the studio for you.
Ah, you're sweet. Thank you.
We didn't do it, but there's a very affected scene where you are just desperate to meet a deadline and you really, really want to go out for some coffee.
That's right. I do. I want to go out. You know, it's funny. One thing I really learned was that a lot of my kind of wastefulness as a person was just habits, right? So by actually breaking that, I have to admit I'm back on the bean a little bit right now. But by sort of giving up everything, it was just amazing to see, by giving up everything and sort of dropping out of the culture and dropping off the grid, what would emerge. And we made some really amazing discoveries as a family as a result of that, which were really made, you know, a great adventure for us.
It's interesting. Tony Scott, A.O. Scott in the New York Times wrote a review that said basically this movie, as much as the idea of the movie is about this year-long experiment, it's really a movie about a marriage. Colin, do you agree?
Well, we inherit so many kind of social rules from the culture, and when two people come together in a marriage, they, you know, they kind of have agreed to abide by those social rules. And what you don't realize is if you decide you're not going to consume resources, you're kind of breaking the social rules, and you have to rebuild the rules of your marriage all over again. So it makes for stress, but it also makes for two people actually deciding how they want to live their lives together. So you get a little bit of stress in their marriage, but also the chance to build together and to become closer.
So we had this amazing opportunity to redesign our whole life, to take our whole life apart and redesign it and author it. And that was pretty exciting.
Yet we don't see the initial decision-making. Michelle, there is something that was left out. I mean, we start when you start the project, but was there a family meeting, a vote? Was everybody on board when this started?
Well, what happened was Colin really wanted to start. He was a book writer, and he wanted to start writing about global warming in his work. And he was so excited about this that I got so excited for him that I didn't fully think through what it would mean. But I was just so excited and also just really believed in the message and believed in the idea of the experiment. I just believed in it.
Neil, we should mention that No Impact Man, the book, is also in bookstores at the same time. And one of the things I talk about there is that I had been writing about history, but I was so worried in 2006 about global warming, I just couldn't keep writing about history anymore. And so No Impact Man is a story that we hope will popularize the issues and remind people that we have to do something about our climate emergency.
Back to the message there. It's also a film and an experience and a book about, dealing with celebrity in our society. In the course of this year-long experiment, there is a big piece about you in the New York Times. There's a wonderful scene, Colin, where you're playing back the messages where you've gotten calls from producers from various talk shows, and including ours. You didn't play our message, but you were on our show in the midst of this as a result of that piece in the New York Times. But there was also some unanticipated fallout from that New York Times piece.
Well, sure. I mean, I think what we were – I kind of didn't realize this when we started, but what we were talking about is that a lot of our problems come from the fact that we consume too much. You know, the average American emits 5 times the carbon dioxide as the average Chinese. So we need to do something about our lifestyle. And what we didn't expect, as naive as I am, I forgot that to say consume less in our particular culture, which is so much based around consumption, was highly controversial.
And it came off, Michelle, sounding to some people a little judgmental.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, think about that. Like, how crazy and insane is that? Is that message just, hey, could you wake up a little bit and be a little less wasteful, would be a subversive message. It's just, it's pretty insane when you think about it.
And you were getting messages after that New York Times piece that you ought to leave this guy.
I was. Here's what I got. There's a lot of venom on the web, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take a stand and you say something and you do something and for whatever reason people are interested in, you know, the you're going to get a lot of you're going to get everything on the web, and the web includes a lot of amazing, wonderful things. And yes, there's some venom, but I'm crazy about Colin and whipped on him. And the fact that we had such an adventure in our early 40s is just one of the many reasons.
We want to get some callers in on the conversation. No Impact Man is the subject. It's both a book and now a film that opens nationwide this weekend. The stars, if you will, are Colin Bevan and Michelle Collin. They're both with us. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Mary on the line. Mary calling from San Antonio.
Hi. I had a question about the purpose or the environmental impact that you were seeking when using the choice of not using toilet paper. I recently had a baby, and in doing some research on disposable diapers versus cloth diapers, I found that it could be more of an impact on the environment to use a cloth diaper because of the amount of water that's wasted in cleaning them, and introduce detergents. So what was your environmental goal?
So, Mary, with the cloth diaper versus plastic diaper debate, one of the things we always have to look at when we do this kind of research is who's funding the studies. And you can believe that it wasn't the cloth diaper people that funded those studies. And if you think about it, plastic diapers make up just the largest single item that goes into the landfills every day here in the United States. So we, without looking at the industry-funded studies, we just realized that the best thing environmentally for us to do is to use cloth diapers. But more importantly, my little girl, who was old enough at that stage, was able to tell me that she was much more comfortable in them.
Mm. And Michelle Collin, I don't think there was anything involved in this whole project that drew more double takes and dropped jaws than the no toilet paper.
No, but you know what? You know what I think we should be talking about? We should be talking about the fact that we're simply cutting down too many trees. And it's just fascinating to me how people want to focus on this whole toilet paper meme, which is, if you think about it, it's a giant distraction, right? It's a giant distraction from the real issue, which is that there's an environmental crisis going on. And I want us to talk about and put our energy into tackling that and to get away from this culture of distraction over sensationalizing something like a toilet paper thing.
Well, I have to say that some people, you said it in the film, just after that scene in which Colin talks to Isabella about that wonderful affecting scene, you say, some people are going to hear this thing about no toilet paper and just think you're a whack job.
Yeah, that's we You know, first of all, at a certain stage, we were much more naive about media than we are now. And the thing about it is what we were trying to do with the experiment was to go to cut down on all resources, because there's so many resources that we as Americans use that are just plain waste, because they're wasted because they don't even contribute to our quality of life. Like, who can say they would miss packaging? 40% of what we throw away is packaging. Who could say that we miss it? So we wanted to go the whole hog as an experiment to ask ourselves, like, where is there give in our culture? Where are there resources that we don't need and that don't even make us happy?
Yeah, the point was to be radical, because we weren't ever saying anyone else should do this, but we decided that we wanted to see what it would be like literally to kind of give up everything, right, and see what would emerge. So the point was to be radical so that we could kind of redesign things and see if better things emerged.
Mary, thanks very much for the call. We're talking with Colin Bevan, writer, blogger, and one of the subjects of the new film No Impact Man. There's a book by the same name available in bookstores now. The film opens nationwide. Also with us, Michelle Conlon, the other subject, main subject of No Impact Man. It's a film that's made about their project of going extremely green, making no environmental impact on the world for the space of 1 year. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there are also going to be people who said, and I've read some of the reviews of the movie, Colin, and that this is a project about self-promotion, and indeed that toward the end of the film, when you go full no electricity in the apartment, there's candlelight, but somehow there's electricity for the laptop and electricity for the cameras who are filming this.
Sure. We were able to sneak one solar panel onto the roof of the building, and we used that so that I could continue my blog, and also so we had a light to read to Isabella. You know, of course people say it's about self-promotion, but it isn't. What it is about is finding a way to popularize issues that we need to be thinking about. And in some ways, it's kind of a shame that we actually have to resort to doing sensational things in order to get the attention. But it was kind of a sacrifice we need to make. By the way, just I would be remiss, because Michelle said she was crazy about me. And I think it's important that I get it on the record that I'm also crazy about her.
Well, thanks very much. Anybody who sees the film will be crazy about her. Anyway, let's go to Randy. Randy with us from Madison.
Yes, Michelle's must be wonderful. My wife's name is Michelle, too. I had the experience of having an impact on my children through having a lifestyle of recycling. I think that's where you see the greatest fruit. My own child, now an adult, who is a physician, finds himself checking at Goodwill first rather than going to more expensive stores, because he recalls the family calling me Recycle Randy. Because when we built our house, we would straighten roof tin from sheds where wind had blown it off and so on. I would be explaining to these high school students, look, the fossil fuel it took to create this in the first place, we're not going to just haul this to the local dump. We're going to reclaim this first, and we're going to keep reusing this wood from our old house, and we straightened bent nails and so on. I don't want to pretend I'm near as proficient as your guest, but I've heard him before and respect his goals. And even though people recoil at some of the extremes, I think it's because they don't understand, as you have an impact on your own children, they take these on, these habits, because they internalize them, because they make sense. The economic money that's saved revolves back around in their own economy rather than it exiting their economy. It revolves back around inside their own community and inside themselves, and they see the benefit to it. And So I agree with you, sir, that it had the greatest impact on my own family, and they began to still call me Recycle Randy, you know.
Well, Recycle, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
What a beautiful thought. I love that the dirty little secret is that you can live like a king or a queen out of goodwill. I love it.
This was a one-year experiment. This was a project. How much of the consumer world have you reentered? Michelle, you mentioned you're back on the bean a little bit, but I wonder, is there a television back in your house?
No, there's no. That 46-incher is gone. We gave it away, and it has not resurfaced. And I have to say, I thought the TV would be the most difficult thing because I was pretty addicted to it. But it actually was just a lovely joy the night after we gave away the TV to be talking about childhood stuff and entertaining each other. And I think that was one of the best things that we did. And that has stuck.
The other thing I should say, Neil, is that besides for you know, how we live our lives, the project in a lot of ways has continued because now we've started a nonprofit, which is about helping people to choose ways of life that both can benefit them and are good for the environment. And people can get involved by going to noimpactproject.org.
And after the plug, can I ask you if there was one thing that you were delighted to get back to at the end of the project?
The laundry machine. I was delighted to get back to the laundry machine. But I should say that during the project, the thing that I was most delighted about is that I think Michelle would agree that it made us much better parents, because as we gave up so many screens and so many consumer distractions, it taught us that we could spend a lot more time having fun with our little girl. And that kind of just continues for us. And I think we're both very grateful for that.
And Michelle, people who see the movie will want to know, did you go back and buy that bag at the end of the year?
I did not. No, I did not buy that bag. I didn't need one because I already had a bag.
As was pointed out. Thank you both very much, and good luck with the project and good luck with the film.
Thank you, Neil.
Colin Bevan joined us from Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. He's a writer, blogger, and the subject of the film No Impact Man, also a book. Michelle Conlon with us from our bureau in New York. She's also a subject of the film and a senior writer at Business Week magazine. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We'll see you again on Monday. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Now you can get Talk of the Nation delivered to your inbox. Sign up and we'll send you a daily email about how to get into the conversation, what you missed, and our producers' picks for the best segments of the week. To sign up for the email newsletter, go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, and scroll down to the newsletter sign-up box.